So welcome to the 5G use case team meeting for April 9th, 2020. We have kind of light attendance right now, but Marge suggested that we start with discussions germane to them all in March. So go ahead, Marge.
Okay. What I wanted to talk about was, what do we need to do to be able to bring materials to the architecture committee? Because we really have done a lot of work on this harmonization use case. It's quite further along than just having the high-level requirements view. So how much needs to be known and how much background needs to be done before we go to the architecture committee?
So, go ahead.
I think what you presented at LR's meeting should be more than sufficient for architecture committee, because it's not really impacting so much. We are not changing architecture. It's more of a
I was on the architecture subcommittee meeting this past Tuesday, 2 days ago, and Shocker was talking about that very thing. The proposal is coming out of Ala's call. So I think he is going to start scheduling meetings. He hasn't done that yet, but he said he will start scheduling.
So maybe, Vimal, you and I could send a note to Shocker and CC you and see when we should be on the architect. I just would like to kind of get these little check marks off.
One thing I might suggest, Ben, is if we can group some of the 5G related use cases. Mm-hmm. We don't have to present all of them at the same time, but if we can just group them and say, okay, today we are going to present three of them, and next time we'll present another. So that's one suggestion.
That's a good idea. Sure. He showed briefly a template actually for people to use. I don't have the link to that template, but you can maybe ask him, or I can ask him. I'm meeting with him today, actually.
With him today, would you mind asking for the template?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'll do that. I see Oscar joined. Okay. So the template, though, is pretty, right now is pretty simple, it looked like, but I think the presentation that you put together for when you presented the at Ala's call, I think would be more than sufficient for.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I just thought, let's just get that box checked and keep moving, you know. And I don't know when the wiki page is supposed to be created, because I don't know how far in the approval process you go before you create a wiki page, you know, because in your slides, Ben, you have a link for a wiki page, but, you know, we don't have one for this use case yet. I don't know. Does Allah decree that we can proceed, or because I just don't know exactly what the process is.
Yeah. So let me try to fill people in on what's going on there too. So let me see. I need to go to navigate to our pages. So these are our pages right now. Okay. These are all the 5G pages, and there's a lot of confusion about why is the requirements subcommittee now called the requirements, and what are, you know, use cases aren't disappearing. And so as a preamble to answer your question, that debate of why did Ala rename her thing a requirements subcommittee is relevant, because she, in her mind, there's no new use case and end use cases, which is a little absurd, but that's probably true in R6, actually. Most things are extending things that existed in R4 and 5, but going forward, it might not be true, obviously, right? So with that in mind, so all of our pages right now are, if you look at the tree of pages, is under the use case subcommittee, replaced by the requirements subcommittee. And she made a new page for the requirements subcommittee, which all it has right now is this super high level. She's trying to make her subcommittee just handle, if you read her charter, right, a really high level sort of filter for into the input into the architecture and TSC. So it's not clear, somehow I clicked on something. So it's not clear where we're gonna put our collection of pages yet. But I had asked that question, and Zhu had asked that question, and Ala suggested putting it under the architecture subcommittee. I went to Chakra because I meet with him every week. He said that's fine, but he hasn't yet made a place for that. So I think we'll fall under the, at least from what I'm thinking, from what Ala is thinking, it sounds like we're going to be under the architecture subcommittee, and as well the use case realization calls will fall under that. And one final thought. So now note that are these use cases kind of straddle both committees, the requirements subcommittee and the architecture subcommittee. So if we want to, we could probably lobby as a higher level thing if we want to. But anyway, I'll end there for people to discuss.
So Ben, one question, previously we used to create one wiki page for every item, like, you know, there was a separate wiki page we had for harmonization.
That's right. The
business. Yes.
Do we still need that?
We'll still have that. So,
okay.
Yeah. We're not going to split up our pages into two different places. That's absolutely, there's no way we're going to do that. But the question is, and there will still be a header page, a grouping page for release 7 somewhere. So there is already right now kind of a grouping page, right, for this here. And I think, and this is just my opinion, I think that we'll move this to wherever it needs to move to. So you can probably start adding your wiki pages under here, I would say.
You're going so fast, Ben. Under where? Where?
Okay. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So let me try to slow down a little bit here. So right now,
that far. Yeah.
Okay.
You started flipping around after you said put your page here, and then you went someplace else. So I wasn't sure what you wanted.
Sorry.
Okay.
So in R6, all our pages are under this place now. And let me put it in the chat here so you can get to it.
Mm-hmm.
All our pages are currently here, and I see Joanne trying to chat. Okay. So right now, all our pages are what I just put in the chat.
Right.
So all those 31 use cases we have in R6 are in this, are in this title page, right? And this grouping, this directory, let's say, right? So if you look at this navigation directory, release 6, Frankfurt proposed use case and functional requirements, all the sub pages in here are all of our use case pages, right? There is also an R7 page as well, R7 Guilin proposed architecture requirements, which I'll put in the chat as well. So it's in the chat and you can follow along. So I think what we should do is just start putting our pages under this title page, or this
and harmonization would go under the 5G use case.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
Is that how we have it organized now? Actually, what we're doing in Guilin may not just be for 5G. I mean, it's putting in an overall framework that could be used anywhere. But for now, we'll just put it here. Is what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah, I don't really, I'm not sure I really like the idea of having a single harmonization page, because it's so broad topic. I would prefer, I think, a page that is more aligned with the specific requirement that we have proposed.
Oscar, this particular one isn't just applicable for 5G. That's why I was trying to ask the question, right? The first use case will be for that's applicable to RAN, but really this is a general thing, right?
Yeah.
A general capability that could be used within ONAP.
Marjan and Oscar, we had PNF, which is also not a 5G, which is a more generic capability.
Right.
So we have done, and so historically we have done and included things which are more broadly applicable than 5G, but under 5G umbrella, just for convenience. And I'm okay either way. We can put it under 5G or we can put it directly under Release 7 Guilin. Either way, I don't think that makes a big difference. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think if your use case applies to just RAN 5G stuff, then I would put it under there. If you have, I mean, you can even split it up into multiple things if you have something specifically for, you know, RAN and specifically more general. I think it would be a good idea to have also another directory for the PNF use cases in Guilino.
My view, I think, is that try to keep it close to the actual requirements that have been proposed. So if you have proposed requirements like standards defined notifications, mm-hmm. Support for that, why is that not sort of its own page?
I'm wondering if it's an organizational thing, because there's use cases that are defined in ONAP, and so this work has been it used to be, and maybe it's not anymore in Guilin, but it used to be that you couldn't do anything unless it was attached to a use case. And so I'm wondering, would it, if we have to continue with that paradigm, which I'm not sure if we do or if we don't, maybe what one could do is for Guilin, if really the work that's being done for this use case is really the standards defined event, maybe what you could do is name the page standard defined event, or some good name. We could come up with a good name, --- harmonization use case or something, if people needed to know how it was attached to, I don't know. I mean, you don't need to take notes. I'm just sort of brainstorming how we can kind of meet our historical way we documented stuff with something that might be a little bit more descriptive. Or I suppose you could do, but this would be a really long header and you'd never see the last part of it if you put the harmonization first. That's why I was thinking maybe you could put the standard defined first and then the --, just to show that it did belong to something. We didn't just, you know, put it in here with no attachment. I don't know.
Okay, so I think I'm gonna just create a thing here for a table to point to the children pages for the 5G stuff. The PNF pages. And then the general use cases, right? So.
Okay. I guess I still am not 100%. Okay, I see what you're doing. All right.
Okay, and we should have a link to also this page here. So this page is basically kind of a directory. The way, so ONAP isn't necessarily easy to navigate in the wiki pages, but basically,
awful.
Yeah, if you open up the little collapse bar pull thing here, you can see the directory of where pages are, and 5G has its own sort of directory. So I'll point people to, you can go to the directory of the 5G stuff, as well as, you know, you can go to the individual things off of this. So
I will tell you that had you not shown me the link to get to where we were supposed to put that page for the, you know, that one page summary on Ala's sheet, I would never have found it, because when I went and I looked at what she had defined for Guilin, and I went there and there was nothing there. So I just don't understand. Well,
yeah, it definitely takes a little bit of getting used to navigate through these things. Okay, so there, if you think of like your Windows, you know, Explorer directory, the top level directory, as it were, is the page I'm on now, which I've put in the chat, which is all of the R7 pages. And then I just put a link here to, here's the directory for all the 5G ones, and I also put a link to all of the realization meetings here. And then I'll create a directory for the PNF requirements as well. So, oops, I should have, let's see. Okay, I'm gonna just open this in a new tab here. And I think I can just clone the page here so you can see how this works. So if you just clone this page.
Don't go too fast. I'm trying to copy all the stuff you put in the chat so that when you take the meeting down, I don't lose it.
Yeah, it's also on the recording, so you'll be able to review slowly if you wish to. So I'm gonna make this the parent page. So when you copy a page, you can declare its parent page. And when you start typing, it'll look for the page title. So this is the parent page, the top level directory. And so I'm copying this directory right now, and I'm about to rename it to PNF, and you'll see how it works here. So I'm gonna call this the PNF use cases in Boilin. Okay. So I'm going to publish that page, and you'll see now it should be its own little subdirectory here. You see that in here. It doesn't have any children pages yet, so it doesn't have a sort of an arrow down yet, but it is a high-level directory at the moment. So now I'm going to take this and put it in here so people can quickly link to it. So essentially everything should be able to be linkable off of this higher-level thing here. So use case, use here. So that page that I just made, I'm gonna keep all this and this blank text. Okay. Right. Does that make sense to everybody? What I just did.
Well, I think so, but I'll have to populate at a high level something for the standard defined that is encapsulated event. And the use case that it's associated with and get it in there. I'll look at what's in Frankfurt and emulate that.
So some things we do know already, the PNF plug and play has requirement there. For 5G, the working title right now is the configuration. This is a service. Although Joanne,
should that be eventually that's more general, isn't it?
Then not necessarily 5G. Can make this more general, I think. So make that a general thing now. We know about the CMPV2 work. I think that's
We don't have to fill it in now.
Yeah. But I'm just giving you examples of things that we want to add in there. Okay. And then you can put a description, a wiki, and so if you have a requirement or use case that is broad, you can put in the broad thing. If it's directly applicable just to 5G, you can do that. So I think we start creating this, and then what you can actually do is I can actually move this whole directory to wherever we want to move it to or retitle it.
So if ONEP decides that they want this someplace else, then you just take care of moving that for us.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that'd basically you just go here and you can move it to a new place. And you click on this move and then you search for its parent page and if you start typing, for example, if you wanted it in whatever, architecture subcommittee, blah, 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 you start typing these words, ARCOM contributions, and on the move, it'll find it. So I'll talk to Chakra today about that. But whatever you add here will still remain cohesively together. So we started this sort of tree and structure here. You can add stuff and you'll rest assured it won't be lost. Yeah.
So my only request would be if for some reason this stuff does move, can you put the people who are contacts for the use cases on an email that shows where they
ultimately
went?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So other people 2 weeks ago talked about that as well. So for sure, I'll mail everybody so they know where things are.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So Vimal, did you, or anybody else, or Joanne, or Oscar, do you have any thoughts on
this? I think this is good layout, and that works.
Okay. All right, so let's see, we discussed about the document, the wiki structure, just gonna delete this, the date's already up there. And I'll put a link to this page here. Okay, so read the docs. I have gotten a lot further along, and I started creating a walkthrough of how to do the read the docs stuff. Let me see. Okay, it should be here. I think this is where I put it. So basically so this will apply to read the docs as well as the VNF requirements, adding stuff to the VNF requirements stuff. I won't go through all of this, but it gives you a sense if you don't know how to do it. I step through, you need to install Git, you'll need to install Python and configure Python, and then install Git review and sync the SSH keys. And I have because I don't do this very often, and it was just really hard to figure out how to do it. So I had taken some screenshots from like 2 years ago when I did this, when Marge and I did this, and we tapped to Goop on the shoulder. So I'm kind of refreshing my memory and stepping through how to do this. So Joanne and I need to make doc pages for our project, and so I've just cloned the repository, which basically what you need to do is there's a whole database for all the doc projects. All of our read the docs is under the integration project. You basically copy that all of that stuff to your computer, and then you update stuff and then push it back up. That's the basic idea. And so you know there's commands of how to clone the repository and push it back up. So I have that, the slides that I'm putting together, and when I get through it once successfully, I'll publish it up and take more time to help describe it to people. I have reached out to Sophia Wallen to step us through that. And Hagoop didn't have the time to step me through the whole thing, but because I had taken lots of screenshots, I'm kind of walking myself through the process now, and hopefully I'll make progress. Another thing Joanne and I need to do is we'll open up a Jira ticket, and then we need to open up a Jira review, and it's a real pain to update the read the docs, a lot harder than just clicking on a wiki page. But it does put it under version control, and there are benefits and so forth. But Andreas Geisler from the projects team had said that there are intending to make a new repo for the use case documentation, because everything right now, all of our use case documentation is under the integration repo, and when you want to make a use case document change right now, you're going to have to go to one of the plus two people in the integration project, like Morgan Rishon, to say, hey, I've updated stuff for my use case, please help, please push this and incorporate it into your project, which I don't think makes sense. That's that. All right. Okay. So I don't know, Vimal, do you know any of the dates? Did they get moved, or are we at RC? Maybe Dong Ho Kim knows that. Are we in RC0 right now? M4 is officially baseline. Have you heard anybody?
No, I thought they will do RC0 today on the call, but they never got to that. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Let's see. So today on the TSC, Joanne, and I saw you join later, Joanne, so I didn't know you weren't on the call at first. But Tony and I started the presentation, and I saw Joanne join later. But we presented on the the configuration persistency service the project and the project page. So we walked through the basic concept of the project and what it is, and the I don't know if I still have it up. The project page, which I can get to pretty quickly here. Let's see. Here. All right. So we stepped through the, I won't do it here because it took like an hour. But basically the you can listen to the recording if you wish. But we went through the project proposal. We went through all of the information in the project proposal, its scope, its architecture alignment, and its basic concepts, principles, and operational description of what it does and all its various aspects and dimensions. So we've been working on this for about 6 months, once a week. And so there were a lot of questions and a lot of interesting and good questions. So one of the things they were a little concerned about was we only have two actual developers listed. So that, you know, they felt that wasn't enough essentially to kick off a new project. So that was one of the things. And then there were some various other just sort of questions about why, when, who, what, where, which we'll answer in the coming weeks. But I just want to let you know that we were at a point where we are ready to propose present the project proposal. It's been presented the architecture multiple times, three times, and we've now presented the TSC once. So we'll come back to the TSC after we have more concrete answers and have answered some of the questions and have a more concrete team. Okay. Any questions on that?
So I think there were a lot of questions and there were some questions which I didn't fully understand, and there were some good questions. So I'll tell you something I didn't understand.
Sure.
I don't think the runtime catalog and this config database are one and the same thing. They are very different animals. They are doing very different things. At the same time, there were two questions that controllers have config database, why that is not sufficient, or why can't we store this in ANAI? I think we should answer those two questions. I think there is good logic for both of them, but need to address those two questions very clearly, and also show that runtime catalog and this runtime persistent database are very different animals and very different, serve very different purpose. Maybe we should address those two very clearly.
So I couldn't say something too, Ben. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure the update, someone asked a question we talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the controller will be master controller, will be changed the update for configure DB.
Mm-hmm.
Now that people mentioned to every other people just read, only SNC to control the DB because they have the first information for Nikon Yen model. So I know someone asked a question too.
Yeah.
And the second question they ask, just Vimal mentioned, because in this, so far for what we have configure DB, I saw it's not in WoW. So someone mentioned there's a catalog. It's nothing to do with, we don't have any catalog because it's model driven. We have the use case onboarding package. We distribute as model driven. We wouldn't stay in that with nothing to do with the so-called ISO involved. So ISO is not impact for this picture.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Or try to say something.
Right.
And
Right.
And also I don't know, so the ask Vimal, right? If this is a goal, now go, or we can still have a second round.
So I think we need a second round at the end of it. And Joanne, you and I should maybe meet this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon to, you know, what I think we should do is we should just make a slide for every question that came up. So, you know, here, you know, in our presentation, in our presentation, I think we just make We just make a, sorry, we just make a slide like question number one from TSC was about this this runtime catalog thing that Sashu talked about, right? From Sashu, and you know, for example, what was the question or what was the topic, and then we can, you know, we can, you and I can, and Tony can come up with an answer. We'll talk about this Friday tomorrow too, yeah.
Yeah, there was one more question, Ben. So I agree with the approach. The other one was that why we don't have it as part of NAI. That was Eric DeBoer's question. And again, these are good questions. So we are storing not just inventory information, we are storing configuration information, which is pretty voluminous and a lot of other additional information. So it's not a classic inventory topology, but really a source of truth.
Right.
As far as controllers are concerned, there could be multiple controller persona. Having a one common configuration database is actually more efficient and more elegant than having each controller having its own database. And then people have to say, oh, for this particular element, I have to go to this controller. And when I do end-to-end slicing, I have to go to maybe three different controllers to get everything I need.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a mention that there was 35 databases in ONAP, which is amazing. But as people started mentioning databases, I started drawing the databases. So there's a lot of major databases in ONAP, and each one with its own little storage and its own little view of the world is not an elegant solution, in my opinion. But somebody kept pushing. Maybe it was Eric, kept saying that, you know, why do we need a common database? And Catherine was saying that's a single point of failure. And, you know, and it's more efficient, essentially, they were saying, to have 35 separate little databases. So
I
need to really educate those people because I think this, as we truly believe that this is a much elegant solution and there's a real need for that. People have some questions that we need to address.
Yeah,
I think the NAI, yeah, because we know this is not a duplicate NAI. Another question I don't know if how we address this.
Mm.
They say, why would they use the current existing database? As you know, we have the MariaDB, the SQL technology as a database, right?
Yeah.
So someone mentioned, the Mongo database. I know the Ericsson going into the ask you, just like maybe you can get input. The Ericsson Mongo database, right? You provide a solution for the your data use, Tony say? What kind of database? Because I know, because someone mentioned, oh, why wouldn't use the SQL? Mm. Why do we use the Mongo database? Mm. And, that question, I think they couldn't postage the database. They have different database technology. So how, and then they ask, how do they think
for
up?
One second, I'm gonna reshare in a second.
How do they sync up each other for the older ONAP? Like say someone use SQL, someone use, I don't know how can we answer this question?
I think, John, we have to address people's concern and say why we think for this type of a model-driven configuration database, a graph database is much better fit than SQL or MongoDB. And you can say, okay, this one is more structured, this one is the structure, but the structure that keeps varying from vendor to vendor, device to device, or this thing, it's not not suitable. Maybe the people have to justify why the technology we select is well suited for this kind of work.
Yeah. And also Ben, we have to, because right now, I don't know if do we need all the big scope in the picture? Like I say, you know, like just a plug and play, your security adding this after three release. We don't need to, oh, you can reference someone else did a security, we can just reference. Just someone thinking about we do all the work. Of course, they say, oh, you how can you, handle the capacity? To Catherine, you would say, how do you handle the capacity? You have all the work. How many developers are you going to use doing this work? So right now, at least in the couple release, we just build a flow, get you know, Yen model to the database, at least a couple of few releases, right? And I think the main concern is we don't have capacity to do this work.
I think, you know, what we need to, that's a good point, Joanne. And I think what we need to do is create a roadmap to show people. I think it's important to have a roadmap, essentially, which I think people are thinking all of this will be done. And even Tony had said, you know, this isn't all going to happen overnight, right? So I think it'll help if we have a roadmap to show in release 6 we did this, in release 7 we'll do that. Yeah. So Joanne, we can meet this afternoon, or we don't have to take everybody's time here. We can meet this afternoon or Friday afternoon and work through some of these slides. There are, I will just leave people with a thought. I mean, there are many databases in ONAP, right? There's MariaDB, there's Cassandra, there's Postgres, there's JanusGraph used by AMI. So, you know, there are different database technologies. And somebody also asked, what database technology do you plan to use, right? Mm-hmm. So that's something we can also discuss, John, too. So.
Okay. And also one last point, Ben, maybe that it might be a good idea to give some idea on the scalability / performance need. I think the queries are not that complicated, and that the volume of information or query will not be as high as what you see in some DC or performance database. So maybe that we need to address that question.
Yeah.
The performance, if the Ericsson provide this one, like Tony say, Ericsson, they have to provide, say, what is the performance? Mm. Tony provide this database, right? Then he had to provide, so this database, what's the performance? At least, you know, the basic thing they had to say, oh, this is a performance of such as a range. Mm. He had to give to us, you know, these fundamental things, right?
Right. That'll help. I think that the one of those topics definitely needs to be a performance. There was some concern about, you know, if everything is sort of funneling through this one thing and things are sending multiple requests on DMAP, is there a performance issue? And that was one of the way I answered that was I said that's something that we still need to look at, right? So that performance topic.
I can call DMAP, someone can ask the issue if we have how much data they can compose this.
Yeah, so I think that's something we need more. I have placeholders for those now, but we need more concrete numbers. It's somebody has essentially called us on the placeholders that I have related to
DMAP. Right? So now they didn't raise. Database they raise a concrete issue.
Yeah.
What's the performance? That's the one the TIC call with. Then Catherine said Catherine made a plus one. So what is the performance?
Right. Okay. Very good. Okay, so we have a number of things we need to address and a number of points that we need to think about and probably create slides for. Okay, in the last 15 minutes, I'd like to go over the presentation that this team has been putting together for the virtual face-to-face happening on April 21 to 23. So we'll be presenting the 5G use cases for Guilin and the PNF. Oh. The 5G and PNF use cases for Guilin. And basically I have started off the slide, as I said, last week, and have gotten and reached out to many use cases and probably most or all of you for input. So the bulk PM use case, the OFSOM PCI use case, the network slicing use case, the service modeling and definition use case, configuration and persistency service use case, licensing management, the ORAN harmonization,
Oscar and Mars were having your comment. Maybe we should call this 3GPP harmonization as more general than 5G specific.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. I can do that. Do you want to create a sort of general? I can do that.
No, I was just saying that in the column, the last column, you had that whether it's general or 5G specific. Just make it general rather than
5G. Oh, I see. Okay.
So another thing, Ben, to you know what the 5G, the Huawei did, the NRM, did they do anything?
So yeah, Yao Guangwang did give me a, he did respond back. I need to update the slide from his response. He said that most of it was the CDS update that was done. And there was at the today's Thursday, at the use case realization call yesterday, there was a whole presentation about the CDS UI designer. You can listen to the recording, and it was pretty interesting, the demo they gave. So mostly it's not so much the original description of this, which basically kind of sounded like using a RESTful HTTPS interface instead of .com. I think they're taking a step towards that, but it's not, you know, it's not there yet, but they focus mostly on CDS work. So, but he did give me an update again. I need to update the slide yet for this.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do, in case we run out of time here, is I'm just going to jump to the use cases that of whose people are on the call right now. So Marge and Vimal gave me an update for the mobility standards harmonization. Maybe we should call it mobility standards harmonization. So is that a okay title for you guys, the mobility standards harmonization? Marge and Vimal? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
We can hear you. It's just sometimes hard to get off mute. I guess it's okay. The description on the first page is a good description of it.
Okay. I think this is the title that we had in R6.
Unfortunately, it is. Yes.
Rename it something else. Now's the time to do it.
I mean, if you want to sort of categorize requirements, then we actually have at the moment two different functional requirements for Guilin in this area. So that should probably be clear. I mean, we have the one is in this VES area. Then we have another one in A1.
So it's up to you guys.
The A1 changes, I didn't know what they were, so I didn't include them.
Ericsson has proposed a separate requirement. So there are two requirements. If you go to the ALAS page.
Okay, let me go there. I think it's, let me go to ALAS page here, okay. Oh yeah, I remember at the end of it here, this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sorry about that. I did not know about that. You're right, that should be here as well. I didn't know about that. I didn't see this. I must have dropped from the call before this got presented.
Yeah, you had only you went first, remember, Marge, because you had a meeting conflict. Right. Yeah, so this was presented after you had dropped.
But I mean, both of these are in the harmonization area, but I think it's still good actually to have them as separate requirements because there's not so much overlap.
Mm-hmm. And there's no overlap really.
Yeah.
Right?
And mm-hmm. I mean, in R6, we also saw there were different mm-hmm. Progress, some okay. on A1 and not.
So do we want to call this as a separate page then? I'm okay to do that if you want. Should I make a separate? I can make a common.
What we could do is we could do like mobility standards harmonization, and then this would be the first sub area of that would be this standard defined event, and then the second sub area of it would be the A1 extension. I think that's what you're saying, right, Oscar? Yeah. So yeah, you'd need to. We'd have two separate sections here, Ben. There. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to reach out to McMillan and John Keeney to rework the.
No, I don't want to rework this one because it's totally different. I think we need another page.
Okay.
Yeah. So someone from Ericsson should provide the input.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I agree.
Should I call it A1 adapter extension? Is that an appropriate title?
Well, so Ben, I think what we have to do is sort of decide if we want to put if we want to have both of these have a common header that talks about their relationship to harmonization, then somehow in the header we'll want to have that. Like for if you go back to the this one, we could say mobility standards harmonization instead of saying in R7 Guilin, because there's no real value added to that. We could say something about VES or you know, I can think about that standard defined event in VES or something. But we can, you know, I can think about that.
And we can update.
And then you could have a similar.
Yeah.
And get rid of that in R7 Guilin because there's no value add to that. And then, you know, A1 adapter extension or something. I mean, this is what makes sense, right? I mean, your EXT or whatever fits, yeah.
Right. I think
does that make sense, Oscar? Something like that?
This to make this fit.
To show that it there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Good. Yep. Okay, great.
I'll give you a new title because I don't want it to just say VES.
Yeah. So that's
but it doesn't have to be on this call. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Great. Okay, and I'll reach out to Michaela and try to get you to see what.
Yeah, Oscar, I'm sorry, I didn't get your point earlier because I didn't know about this.
Right. And let's see. So.
Ben, can you send the slides or post a link to?
I'll put them into today's meeting notes. You can just download them from here.
Can I fix my title? I don't like question marks in a posted thing. I'll send it to you before the end of the call you don't mind. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. So, okay. And so
you post the link if you can. Let me.
I'll put the link. All of our meetings are off of the 5G use case page, which I'll put the link to here. Here, chat, send to everyone. So you can always find everything off of our use case page here, right? And if you scroll down, here's all our meetings and recordings, right?
So
there is. Oh, by the way, there is no meeting April 23. Just so people know. Because that's when the virtual face to face is going to be. So just so people know, there's no meeting 2 weeks from now, two Thursdays from now. Okay, and since Joanne is on, here is our. I sent this to you already, but here is the descriptor page, and then here's the what we're doing in R7, so it describes an overall quick description. The wiki page, all of these wiki pages need to change, but so we have the controller work to provide Yang model, database schema setup, netconf path, DCAE for the actual standard defined CMVS event. And Marge, this is what I called it, if this is okay with you. Best event listener DCAE pathway for that, and the DMAP development to publish on the appropriate namespace. So Oscar and Marge and Vomal, hopefully these two descriptions are okay.
Why does it say CM?
Because
it should just say it.
Because
just
it's related to configuration data specifically. So we don't care.
No,
about
it's not.
No. I know the standards defined VES event is general, but what we are interested in is configuration data that gets pushed up.
Oh, I see. And the persistency. Apologize. Sorry. Yeah.
So,
okay.
So maybe I should word that differently. That's confusing. So using the to send.
Yeah, to send CM. That makes sense. Yes, that makes sense to me. Okay.
So modeling the design time support for dynamic database schema setup, use of onboarded Yang model, any element sync, API updates to be able to interface and write to the database. So this ANA element sync is basically when you first set up your database, you need to do a get all to get the entire, you know, graph of ANAI. And then when new PNFs or VNFs are added or deleted, of course, you have to sync up the database information with what's in ANAI. And of course, the project proposal that we just made to the TSC.
So the one, just to make sure, because you don't want to see a lot of work, because, you know, people feel like, so the first one, the modeling work, right? This is the dependent the use case you know the use case one of the pre-onboarding use case. So then that work has been done already. Already. Mm. So the ConfigureDB doesn't do this work. Just make sure.
So which one are you talking about?
Modeling work.
Oh, modeling. Okay. Do you want me to delete this? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they do distribution.
Okay.
Otherwise, you don't have people.
Makes sense. Okay. Let me see. Oscar, did you have any new relevant use cases here that you want a slide for? Any of the control?
We should probably have something for PM.
Okay, and I have something. It's just called Bulk PM right now. Did you want me to?
Maybe an update of that.
Okay. So right now I call it Bulk PM. Did you want me to call it PM Data Control Extension instead?
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's related to Bulk PM.
It's a bit
more specific.
Okay. So I'll call it Bulk PM, and I do you want me to just kind of cut and paste this, or I can send you this. Let me just clear this maybe. And so right now, this is I think what's happening, right? So we have this, and it is basically this PM Data Control Extension. I can title it like that. Why don't I send you this, and then you can update you and the caller, whoever, Mark, Scott, whoever can update it. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, sure, we can look at that.
Okay. So I just cut and paste from the requirements page and we can get updates if you have a different picture you want to put there, you can do that too. All right, that's it. I think all the people on the call, at least, I have reached out to people for data for things. And in the last 3 minutes here, I'll just kind of flip through the slides real quick. So I have a slide on the service creation and modeling, which looks very similar to the one we presented in R6, except I added this executive summary thing because this is the slide pack that I used to present at all this call. Talks about modeling, the bulk PM stuff, the Orson PCM, the way we hear back from slicing as well. Licensing management, I have heard back from Timo and Smiley, so they're basically focusing on modeling architecture, some requirement stuff, and the potential addition to the plug and play flow. We heard just from
Margin and Oscar just
now. Yep, on
I did get input for the 5G NRM project. And I
need to update this with his inputs. Again, mostly focused on CBS
updates. We just talked about the runtime config DB pre-onboarding, onboarding, the main thing that's happening there.
There is basically just some.
Is Ben's voice going in and out for people?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's really hard to hear you. Sometimes it's faint, sometimes it's loud.
I don't know why that's happening. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, so I'll try to speak a little louder. So for the pre-onboarding use case, the main thing that's happening there is the option two extensions for signatures per artifact, signature security. For plug and play, the main thing there is the finalization of the workflow to building block work that was started in R6 and continues into R7. And I synced with Damien on this information and Paul Beniak. So the enhancements or impact is from CMPV2 started in R6, the controller stuff. So this is actually Oscar's stuff. Do we still need to mention anything about this, or is this done now?
We had the support, at least with NetConf, with the old plug and play workflow. Now when this new building block based workflow is introduced, then it must be sort of connected to the configuration steps. Mm-hmm. But I think that is something that Lukas and Damian had been looking at.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe it needs to be reintegrated or verified in R7 maybe, right? So is that what you're saying?
Yeah. If it was not completed in R6 already, I knew that was one of the last things they were looking at. So I'm not sure that it was ready.
We can just mention it here, and just to be safe. Okay. And then the migration to the building blocks, as you just mentioned, and the potential extensions to the licensing of the licensing management use case work. I know Zoo had some updates from Ericsson for PDF software upgrade. This is the input that he gave me for mostly focused on PDF schema updates. And then finally, the certificate management protocol development that was happening. So basically some enhancements in the certificate management of CPP2, and the DCA team wanted some output to the artifacts to be configurable, and integration of final bordering components to DCAE. So, okay. So I'll make a couple tweaks with Marge's input, and I'll upload these slides to our meeting page, and you can take a look at them and give me feedback. I'll also reach out to Michaela and Oscar to get the updates on the A1 extension and the PM info. Okay. Any final thoughts? We're at time now, so.
Yeah, Ben, I just, Waymo, today, let's say, I guess the TSC will send an email saying we go, no go. I think it's no go today, right?
It's not a no go. It says that we need to address those questions and we make one more presentation. It's not that they said, no, it's no go. It's they need some more data. This question need to be addressed. Yeah, that's what
correct.
We are going to
do. That was my takeaway.
You check Catherine's email, Waymo, just double check her email. I'm confused a little bit.
Okay, I'll check, but I was on the call, and I think, Ben, you took the same thing.
Yeah, that was my takeaway too, Joanne, that basically she said, come back and represent, with the answers of your questions, and, we won't approve it right now. She said, we won't approve it today, but come back with, answers to the questions and open points that people raised and represent is kind of what I took, just like what Vimal said.
Okay, that's
okay. Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks everybody for attending and your input, and stay safe from the coronavirus. And again, I'll send out updates after the call. Thanks.
Thanks, bye.